is yesterday, those who are on the speaking schedule were supposed to provide a title and a synopsis to Mr. Elliott to get into the announcements before, and that way we can see kind of, you know, what's the title, who's, what's he speaking on, and what am I speaking on. Well, I saw Monty Knudsen's is kind of, it was like, oh, no. This is going to be a short Bible study. He just took away half my Bible study because his was based on forgiveness, and I'm going in the same direction, but in a completely different route. God told me last night, literally, well, I won't say literally, but I felt him saying, you need to add a word to your Bible study. So I did. The title of this Bible study today is Anger, Forgiveness, and Encouragement. And these three work together in a system, in a pattern. And we'll see that as we go through the Bible study today. Why anger? Well, anger is where, to a certain degree, sin starts here in your mouth and your mind. It starts in the heart. But it's one of those things, anger really stirs up a lot of negative stuff. It's not a good thing, you would think. So what does the Bible say about anger? Is anger a sin? Is it something sinful? Absolutely it is. But depends on how it's applied. And we'll see as we get into the Bible study. So let's start off with that word anger as we look into this. We're going to see a correlation between anger, forgiveness, and then on to encouragement. Let's start off by turning to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. Ephesians 4, and I'm just going to be reading verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry. It says, okay, so be angry. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. It's okay to be angry. There is a righteous anger. God is, we see throughout the Old Testament where God is an angry God. He gets angry, but it's a righteous anger. We can get angry at situations, circumstances, sometimes maybe individuals, but we don't want it to be something that goes to a very, very negative place, and that's where we could start crossing the line on some of the commandments, where we're thinking, I just don't like this guy or whatever, but the anger just spills over and really does some negative things to all of us. We can get angry, but we can't sin. Okay, let's move on to our next scripture, and that's James 1. And Monty Knudsen, he was in James 1, kind of scared me when he went there. It's funny because he took forgiveness and went in a completely different direction to a certain degree than we're going to go today. James 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, or the anger of man, our attitude problem, does not produce the righteousness of God. So, continue the thought here. Ephesians 4, and we're just going to read verse 31 right now. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, we're told in the Bible, and we'll go there in just a moment, that God fights our battles for us. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. We are not in a position as members of the God family, or soon to be members of the God family, where we're getting angry and we're looking for retaliation. We don't do that. We don't do that. As God's people, God fights our battles for us. Now, let's go over to Romans 12, and we'll just read one verse there, which is exactly what I just spoke about. Romans 12 and verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So if we can't avenge ourselves, what do we do? What do we do? Yeah, we let God fight our battles. What do? Well, we become godly people, and we try to remove that. Now, I've got to make a few confessions. I'm not going to give away all my bad traits, but I've got a little bit of an anger issue. And you guys don't see it too much here when I'm at services. I mean, we all put our Sabbath clothes on, if you will, our best face and so on and so forth. Everybody says, hey, you look really good. There's times where you should see me at home. I get angry. Well, that anger sometimes gets way, way too much. And my family has seen my anger. Unfortunately, the ones we love and we're closest to, they're the ones that see our true personality sometimes, or our true inner being. And so does God as well. God sees our heart. He knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts. But my family's seen my anger, and anger does turn into sin. Now, how do we remove anger? And it's kind of funny that as we go into Passover season, I started learning some lessons as I was putting together this Bible study. If you begin to forgive the person you're angry with, try. Just do it. Do what you're told in the Bible. Do what we're all told in the Bible. To forgive. And we'll get into the forgiveness aspect here in a moment. But if we just did what God commands us and tells us to do, the example that was laid down by Christ Jesus himself, okay, that anger disappears, evaporates. And suddenly we can actually go to God on our knees, truly repent, and say, I don't want to be angry like this anymore. I don't want to go over the top. I don't want to, you know, where you're, you know, on a highway, the guy just cut me off, and, you know, or the person, sometimes we say we forgive people, right? For example, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Keep my eye on that guy. Yeah, you know, I mean, is that the way we forgive, or are we truly forgiving people? Are we truly forgiving those who have wronged us or done something that they shouldn't have done? How are we doing these? Well, let's move on to that next topic, which is forgiveness. Because after we get angry, to remove anger, we need to forgive. We need to get rid of the hostility that's wrapped up inside of us. So let's go to Matthew 6. And we were over there, I think, once today as well already. Fortunately, he took two of my scriptures, because he is going in a different direction. But let's go over to Matthew 6, and I'm just going to read one verse to start with, and then we'll move on from there. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that's the forgiveness that Mr. Knutson was talking about. The godly forgiveness that if we don't have it, we're nothing. We might as well give it up. If we don't have God's forgiveness, we have nothing at all. But it goes two ways. We also need to forgive. We need to forgive those who have wronged us. We need to forgive this world in general. And it's not necessarily that we forgive the world in general, but we dissipate that anger through loving kindness, through the attributes of the Holy Spirit. That love and kindness, that meek attitude we should all have, okay? So when I see the news trying to portray gay relationships as if this is just normal, this is just a new way, I don't get so angry. I look at it and I understand where that kind of stuff is coming from. And I don't get so wrapped up in, oh, I wish they'd stop shoving that stuff in my face, and I become angry, and all of a sudden I've got an attitude problem. So we want to get beyond that. Let's move on now just down one scripture to Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, and this is a key, neither will your Father forgive you or forgive your trespasses. So, wait a minute. How important is forgiveness? Going both ways. If we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. And when God forgives, like Mr. Knutson was saying, he forgets it. It's over. But we have to truly repent when we go to him, and he will forgive us. Now, what about others? What about others that continue to come to us? And I think I've been a little guilty of going to God too many times over the same issue, time and time again. I think some of us could, or most of us could probably say that same thing. Anyway, let's move on to Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 25, just one scripture here as well. And whenever you stand praying, Mark 11, 25, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Again, that goes, they tie together. If we don't forgive, God's not going to forgive. And we don't have love. We're not who we say we are if we're not forgiving others. You know, we're going to see in this next scripture, we're going to see that that God is, actually Jesus Christ is speaking to his apostles. And he's educating them. He's just kind of letting them know a little bit more than they knew 20 minutes ago, we'll say. In Luke 17, again, this is New King James Version. Luke 17, 3, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. You know, go to him. I'm just not going to deal with this guy anymore. That's not what we do as members of the God family. We go to each other if we've got issues. We look each other in the eye and we try to work this situation out. We need to have the forgiveness. But we've also got to be willing to forgive. Both ways. You know, we've got to accept forgiveness. We've got, I mean, it works so many different ways. It all ties in with one another. But, again, moving on here, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sin against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And in verse 4 of Luke 17, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. How many times do we do that with God? When we get down on our knees, have you repented for the same infraction, that same transgression more than once? I know, guilty, I do it probably far too often than I care to admit. You know, we really don't have any excuses. None. As members of the God family, to not forgive others. To not have that loving spirit in us. Now in this next set of scriptures, Jesus was speaking to Peter. And turn over to Matthew. Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Again, this is out of the New King James Version. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, we've heard this before, but now he's talking to Peter individually. This is a one-on-one going on. You know, it's not the group that, so Peter, whether he wasn't part of the group at that point, who knows, but Jesus either reminding him or emphatically telling him, this is what the rules are. So verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Wow, that's a bunch of times you're going to be forgiven. And I got to do that every time that guy comes to my house, knocks on my door and says, Robert, I really, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm supposed to forgive? Wow, really? That's what God does to all of us. You know, this is what he wants us to be. He is our example. Jesus Christ was the example. Our role model, Jesus Christ, was the template that we should all try to emulate. Now, when he was beaten, when he was tortured, when he was hung on the tree, what was the response, Jesus Christ? What was the response? What was his last breath? Well, you know, obvious, you're going to put a Bible study together like this, you're going to look at Luke 23. Luke 23, and simply verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Jesus Christ forgave them. He wanted God to forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. So they just went on about their business. But Jesus Christ, our example, our brother, our king, he forgave the entire world. All these people that had just disfigured him beyond recognition, he asked God to forgive them. Now, we're going to start going in the next direction, which is encouragement. Because now when we've forgiven somebody, again, I want to back up to that. Did we really forgive somebody? Or did we blow lip service and say, I forgive you, but I'm just not going to work with you anymore? Or are we really going to forgive a person and not just forgive them, but encourage them? Be positive to them. Are we going to be standoffish or, I'm just going to ignore you because of what you did last time. Yeah, I forgave you, but just don't deal with me anymore. Or are you going to say, hey, listen, you are still my brother. You're still my sister. You're still part of the God family. We share the same Holy Spirit. It is what it is. How are we going to deal with that? Well, the next set of scriptures, and then we're going to be reading a little bit here, is in Genesis 50. Genesis 50 is a great example of first forgiveness. Now, you'd expect anger in the situation, but it didn't come. But first forgiveness and then encouragement. We'll see as we get into this. Genesis 50, and we're going to start reading in verse 15. When Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil we did to him. Now, we all know, Joseph wasn't exactly coddled by his brothers. They didn't do things out of the kindness of their heart. They weren't thinking about Joseph's best interests in the long run. We know the story. Okay, so in verse 16, so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sins, and their sin. For they did evil to you. You know, there's no denying all this. They did evil. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Now verse 18, this is where it gets kind of cool. Verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. We're sorry. We didn't mean to do everything we did. Look at the position you're in now. Look at our position. Things are kind of turned around. They're expecting the worst. He's in this position now where, tables are turned. Look what we were going to do to him. What is his response going to be? Well, let's see. Joseph said to them, this verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. There was a reason for what he went through and what they put him through, and there was a reason for all of it. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, I love verse 21 because this is an attitude we all need to embrace. This is really kind of where we're going with this. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Is that what we do with people we forgive? We say, all right, all's forgiven. Let's go ahead and go out to dinner, or let's have a barbecue, or let's do things together. Do we totally forget those things? When God forgives us, it's gone, okay? When we forgive others, what are we doing, right? And because this is a Bible study, what I wanted to do is compare some scriptures in one version of the Bible to another, because you can get a completely different viewpoint, not necessarily understanding. Sometimes that can take place depending on the translation you're comparing. But I want to compare a couple of sets of scriptures, and I'm only going to use two versions of the Bible, and that's the New King James Version and the God's Word version of the Bible. And this is, there's no real preference as far as I'm concerned. I think both are acceptable, but you've got to be careful no matter what version of the Bible you're going to be going through and referencing no matter what. And what I want to do now is read a set of scriptures from first the New King James, and that's Titus 2. So if you'd start turning to the book of Titus, chapter 2, in the New King James, I'm going to read it. And starting in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself his own special people. And here are the attributes. Zealous for good work. These are the attributes of the people that he did this for. Zealous for good works. Verse 15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Well, I do want to read it out now out of the God's Word translation, because it says it a little differently, where when I kind of compared the two, it's a little dangerous. I think I've got 54 English translations of the Bible on my phone or on my computer. When you start going in, you've really got to be careful what you're referencing. Pretty interesting. So let's go to take a look at the God's Word translation in verse 11, starting off again. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. Verse 13, at the same time, we can expect what we hope for, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to set us free from every sin and to cleanse us so that we can be his special people who, and this is where I like it, this is really where it kind of changes up a little bit, who are enthusiastic. We're not sitting around on our duffs. We're actually doing stuff. We're enthusiastic about doing good things. We're looking for opportunities to serve each other, to serve others, serve the community, whatever it may be. We're not just sitting around waiting for somebody to knock on the door and say, hey, Robert, can you help me? No, we're trying to find these opportunities to go out and help. Encourage, verse 15 once again, tell these things to the believers. Encourage. We have to encourage, motivate. Inspire one another. We do this by talking about what God's done in my life, what he's done in your life, what he's doing in our lives. When we become angry and then we forgive people and all of a sudden we feel like a weight's been lifted off our shoulders, we can sit and have these discussions and, those are uplifting, those are encouraging conversations to have with each other. And this is how we uplift each other. So, where was I now? Okay, so the God's Word translation, enthusiastic, and correct them using your full authority. And this is another, don't let anyone ignore you. Get out there and tell them about it. We're all examples to God's way of life. We are all examples. We're all lights to this world. We should be. That's what God tells us we need to be. We are examples to those around us. No matter what the situation, we need to be on our best behavior. Even if I'm at home getting mad at the TV and it's just my family, I need to not have that anger issue. I need to truly repent so I don't have to do it time in and time again, over and over and over. So let's move on now and look at a different set of scriptures. And I want to look at Romans. And turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans 12, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. And we're going to compare this also with the God's Word translation. Romans 12, starting in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it for in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, verse 8. This is really it right here. He who exhorts in exhortation, or he who gives, give liberally with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. From the God's Word translation, and again, this is verses 6 through 8 of Romans 12. God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts. If your gift is speaking what God has revealed, make sure what you say agrees with the Christian faith. In verse 7. If your gift is serving, then devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If it is encouraging others, and this is where we all need to really kind of work on those gifts that encourage people. Use those gifts. If we let those gifts that God has given us, if we let them become stagnant in our lives, if we sit on our duff, if we don't interact, not just on the Sabbath, this is a whole thing right there. We do this 7 days a week, all the time. We try to. You know, I mean, we ignore our brethren on the, it's not Saturday, can't be around them, you know, they don't know who I am, Sunday through Friday. You know, I don't know. I hope none of us are like that. I know I'm not. I'm not like that. You know, I'll stop yelling when you come to my house. Just kidding. Oh, I would stop yelling. But it says, don't let anyone ignore you, okay? Make yourself be known with this good attitude, this positive encouragement you've got. And we're going to do one more set of scriptures. It's Romans 12. Is this the same one? Never mind. Let me move on. Okay. If your gift, actually, I need to go on to the next page. I should have had an arrow. In verse 8, and this is verse 8 of Romans 12 from the God's Word translation. If it is encouraging others, devote yourself to giving encouragement. If it is sharing, be generous. You know, I mean, okay, I'm going to share, but, you know, I'm on a budget. No, we're going to do it as liberally as we can. I mean, whatever we can afford. That's what we're going to share. If it is leadership, lead enthusiastically. You know, again, don't be, you know, okay, we're just going to do. No, you gotta have some energy about this. Now, we already read Ephesians earlier, but I want to go ahead and really look at this a little closer. Ephesians 4. Let's turn back to the book of Ephesians just for a moment. Ephesians 4, and we're just going to read verses 31 and 32. And we're going to really think about it when we read the words this time. Let all bitterness, let all bad attitudes, wrath, anger. Well, if you think about all these three emotions or whatever you'd want to define them as, they're all the same. Bitterness, anger, wrath. I mean, it's, ugh, you know, you just, bad attitude. Clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In verse 32, this is what we do. This is how we do things. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we do. We forgive one another. Now, want to read just out of the God's Word translation in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. We must also consider how to encourage each other and to show love and to do good things. I love the way that is worded in this version of the Bible. To encourage each other and to show love and to do good things. This is what God's people are all about. You know, we're not a bunch of bad attitudes. We're not angry all the time. Is it okay to get angry? Is it a sin to get angry? No, not necessarily. I would say there's about this many times, a couple, where it's okay to really get angry, and the rest of it, we're just full of ourselves. We're becoming angry at situations or people or things we have no control over, which is absolutely not beneficial to any of us. We need to have that loving understanding. They are not called. Don't have that attitude. They don't understand what you understand, what I understand. Don't become so angry at this world we live in. Just understand that the gift that we're all waiting for is at the end of this life. So we need to really consider that. Now, I wasn't going to read it out of the New King James, but I will because we know this wording a little better. And that's Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in stirring up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That word exhorting, that means encourage one another, inspire one another, make a point of talking to each other, sharing those good things, to talk about God and his promises that he's made to us. Now, as we begin to wrap up here, folks, I want to conclude with a scripture that should be extremely meaningful to all of us as we head into the Passover season. What should our attitude be as we head into Passover? Now, we heard earlier that we do have a lot of responsibility on our to make sure that God has forgiven us, but we also need to make sure we're forgiving each other. We're forgiving each other. You know, God's going to forgive us. He does it more than we know. He forgives us. And he totally forgets about all of it. It's gone. I can't do that. You know, there's still bitterness in my heart from things that happened many years ago with certain individuals. That's just wrong. We should not have those attitudes. We should be able to put those negative emotions, those negative sensations and feelings, put them on the back burner, get them out of our lives. I want to turn to Matthew 5, and this is a book we'll probably be reading in the Passover, during the Passover. Matthew 5. I'm going to read verse 21 through verse 25. Matthew 5, 21. You have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry, okay, right there, this kind of sums it up, and with his brother without cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever says, you fool, you know, I'm smarter than you, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something. Let me start that over again. Verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Verse 24. Leave your gift there before the altar. Stop. Leave it alone. right now. We got something we need to resolve first. You can't bring your gift in this condition. And go on your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Don't sit and procrastinate this stuff. Don't put it off. This is something we have to do it now. We're approaching Passover. We can't go into the Passover in any kind of worthy manner to begin with, but we're really out of sorts if we know we've got a conflict or somebody has a conflict with us and we haven't gone to that person and tried to resolve it before we go and honor Christ. And again, so I think somebody pointed out the Passover, it's a memorial. This is where we remember what Christ, what God the Father did for each and every one of us. Verse 25 again. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown in prison. Rather, let's go into this Passover and think about things. Think about the sins. And I touched on just one negative thing, which is anger. And then forgiveness. We have to forgive after we become angry. Then we have to encourage others. But let's put away our anger. Now, God has righteous anger. I don't think I want to mess with it. Try to keep all anger out of my life. You know, we've got to encourage each other. We've got to be loving, keep this in mind, loving members of the God family. We can't just be taking up space. We've got to do what God has called us to do, which is to love one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, and to support one another. That's how we'll all make it into the kingdom of God. Have a wonderful Sabbath, brethren, and as we get into Passover season, enjoy your Passover.